It is the duty of the free man to resist tyranny at every turn. Every man will either watch his freedom stripped away or take action to protect what he loves. Introducing the A3, the newest revolutionary body armor from Armored Republic. The A3 is the new standard for lightweight multi-hit body armor. A3 plates are incredibly light at 4.6 pounds. The patented design captures fragmentation while remaining multi-hit capable. The A3 will stop up to M80 ball, yet comes in at only 0.7 inches thick. The A3 is the thinnest NIJ.06 compliant or certified composite standalone plate that includes the drop test. The A3 is the first of its kind, patent pending, that combines an alloy strike face with polyethylene backing, revolutionizing body armor technology by providing strength and durability while remaining sleek and maneuverable. The A3 is the new standard in lightweight body armor. The fight against tyranny just got stronger.
Cross Politic on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Pastor Toby Chuck Knox, I'm the water boy. It's good to be with you back in the studio and back on the show. It's so weird when I take a couple weeks off.
You remember how to do this?
I don't know, actually. Yeah.
Kepler!
Go.
I'm just going to go.
Go.
Kepler is an online marketplace for classical Christian education that assures parents maintain their agency without forfeiting the assistance and expertise of qualified conservative Christian teachers. Kepler offers university model courses in the classical tradition that fit your schedule and budget. Visit Kepler.education, Kepler.education, and use their simple search tool to find the course and teacher that meets your child's needs, or simply ask for help to get assistance from a real human being.
Just that's the best place to stop right there.
Oh, I guess another ad. Sorry, I got to read another ad. Do you own a business?
No, that's our second ad.
Is that later?
Yeah, that's later.
Is that the later one? That's later. Never mind.
Well, you forgot it. Do you know how to do this thing?
Clip it, Neil.
I don't even know.
He's ready to go.
I'm just ready for like ads and ads.
You guys, we went on vacation and it feels like the whole world fell apart.
Yeah,
it did. Including Lig Duncan.
Yes. I mean, you can't say Christ is Lord anymore. That's anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Theonomy is bad. Lig and Duncan is talking about theonomy. I'm like, what in the world is, what is what?
Yeah. Well, and so Lig Duncan, while we're out, we couldn't really respond in the moment a couple weeks ago, but while we're out, Lig Duncan, you know, he's on the Moscow boot train. Right now, it's cool to attack Moscow.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Kevin DeYoung writes an article.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. Well, no. And the reason why they're doing it is because their people are listening to Cross Politic and Canon Plus and reading Doug's blog.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put a wedge. they're trying to put a wedge. I think. Yeah. I think they were talking about it because they don't like their people listening to us.
Yeah.
We see the stats. Yeah. We see the blog numbers. We know how their people are listening to us.
Yeah.
And so I think they're going after the Moscow mood because it's kind of like a concerted effort to do it.
It's funny you say it like that. That's possible. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. But I think it's something bigger than that.
What?
I think that the people that are sitting in the church pews, regardless of Lig and Duncan, everybody's looking for answers.
Yeah.
COVID happened and everybody's trying to figure out, I needed something that works.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the theological things that people taught me when it came mm-hmm. time for it to be tried and tested, mm-hmm. the stuff was broken.
Yep.
Okay. It didn't work. Yep. And the leaders I had in front of me were broken.
Yep.
And they didn't work. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you write? Yeah. Why don't you do the thing you're supposed to do? And it wasn't working. And so now people are saying, let me just push all this to the side. And where can I find the stuff that's working? Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's the idea.
Canon Plus.
And you know
Canon
what?
Canon Plus.
And it's not just that. Christian nationalism.
Yep.
Theonomy.
Cross-Baltic.
Post-millennialism.
Fight, laugh, feast.
What is not on the table right now? Because I'm going to tell you something. Everything else has been on the table. Mm-hmm. And everybody grabbed everything else on the table, and it wasn't working. And then all of a sudden, you hear this joyful, rambunctious group of people
singing psalms.
Just singing psalms and getting arrested. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
That seemed like it's working.
And hundreds and hundreds moved to Moscow because they weren't getting leadership in their own churches.
Right.
And CREC. Not Lincoln Duncan's church.
CREC churches around the country are blowing up.
That's exactly.
They either moved to Moscow or they said, all right, what is that flavor?
Right.
And they found the Community of Reformed Evangelical Churches. CREchurches.org. Look up your community.
Was it Acts 29 Network? Think about how many of those guys were just like, so many people left out and said, we got to plant churches.
Yeah.
Well, what does it look like? Well, I don't know. Will they let us Baptist it? Yes.
Yes, we
will. Yes, we will.
Yes, we will.
With a caveat. No, I'm just joking. All anyway. Right.
So,
what are you doing?
I'm actually Googling. I'm pretty sure Lig Duncan's church shut down during COVID, or at least followed a lot of social distancing
orders. Why do you
think
that matters?
Because leadership matters. That's why.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we want to talk about leadership,
we can talk about LARPing. Lig was playing church.
Well, we need to set this up. Maybe some people don't know what's going on with Lig Duncan.
Okay. All right. Let's set it up.
Well, it didn't start with Lig.
No.
It started with your boy,
Kevin
DeYoung's article.
Kevin DeYoung first. Oh, yeah,
my boy?
Your boy. You looked at me like, which boy am I starting this?
I mean, I know we're both white, but but we're not all the same, you know?
I'll be the judge of that. But that's where it started.
What was the thing you guys said about Candace Owens? She didn't know the black church thing?
They challenged
God is good all the time?
And all the time, God is good.
She did not know that.
She went on.
So, like, I'm like as like Wonder Bread as like white Presbyterians come, and I knew that.
Okay. You know what it was like?
For me, it feels like she didn't go to church.
You know what? It's like being in Texas, and I yell, the stars at night are big and bright.
And then deep in the heart of Texas.
You almost
missed it, man.
I know.
And the clapping was off beat.
He was Googling while he was doing it.
No, because I was
That's what happened with Candace Owens.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you ain't really from around here, are you?
Yeah. Right,
they got it on that. Yeah. So anyway,
sorry. That was a crazy rabbit trail. But Kevin DeYoung, and like, I've been to hear him talk.
Yeah.
Appreciate some of his books.
Mm-hmm.
Writes an article called The Moscow Mood. Right?
That was back in November.
Thank you.
Yeah. Again, his people are listening to us and Kevin doesn't like it.
Made No Quarter November, like probably the biggest.
Best it ever has been.
I mean, so yeah.
And Kevin's church shut down. I mean, they like followed every order from the mayor in North Carolina.
They're still on their website.
It's still on their website.
At least it was.
They had like
recently.
Letters after letters on their website. It's time to shut down.
Was it
again?
Almost a year into it? He's still?
Something. Yeah, still doing it. Ridiculous. I mean, talk about LARPing. Go after your buddy, Lig, Kevin, for LARPing and playing church during COVID.
Can we get into the show?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, more context.
Pastor Doug wrote a blog article this week, actually, on Lig and Duncan, this whole thing.
Okay.
And where'd it go? There it is. It's called Lig Duncan and that infamous clip making the rounds. That's how Pastor Doug likes to do it. Anyways,
wordsmithy.
He mentioned that, you know, with all this, all these people, talking about us, we might need to actually start paying them royalties.
For helping us out. Yeah. More people in your church are finding out about us right now.
So Lig and Duncan is chancellor of RTS.
Okay.
Jackson. I believe that's the case.
Yep.
And also,
he was a pastor, but
not a minister.
He's not pastoring a church anymore.
Okay, so
he still preaches in PCA churches.
Reformed Presbyterian minister, seminary professor, chancellor of Reformed Theological Seminary, part of the Gospel Coalition sort of movement thing, and he's on a interview.
Yeah.
Interviewed by, what's it called?
Nuance for Nuance.
Room for Nuance.
There we go.
Room is for there, though?
Nuancing Nuance.
Nuancing Nuance.
Is there really room for Nuance?
Though? Lig goes after us and calls us out for LARPing. So and the
what's the gentleman's name who hosts this? Your buddy?
I've been texting.
Your buddy?
your boy.
Your boy?
Yeah.
Your boy?
Hang on. What's his name? I'm looking at Nuance.
Came.
Nuance.
It is this boy?
Sean DeMars.
So Sean DeMars, the host of Room for Nuance, and has Pastor Lig on, and asked him about the article about
the Moscow mood.
The Moscow mood with Kevin DeYoung.
How can I demoralize and demean them with every word that I say? How can I drive them away from the gospel for the sake of branding and building my own pride?
And even wound my brothers and sisters along the way.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so I think I really appreciate Kevin being willing to wade into that. And I think underneath that is it's not only a mood. There's a theological view of the church, of the gospel, of fidelity, and there are problems at each of those levels.
Okay.
Very accurate.
Wow.
Like, great assessment.
Okay, so.
So much nuance there.
So just, right, it's not a, so Pastor Wilson has written a book on the serrated edge.
Yeah.
Called The Serrated Edge.
Yeah. And that's what Lig was kind of referring to in terms of mockery.
In a very backhanded way, Pastor Ligon is saying that basically his summary of the Moscow mood is this
Mockery.
Lobbing grenades. Yep. Doing everything. What did he say to like drive people away from the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Sean chimes in and says, and wounding a bunch of brothers along the way. Mm-hmm. And then he says
wounding or wooing?
I thought he said wounding. He said
instead of wooing a bunch of brothers. Did he say Neil? Was it wounding or wooing?
What?
Hurting.
So it was hurting.
Wounding. Okay, okay, yeah. Okay. So I took it as collateral damage kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he says, and at the foundation of this are problems and the doctrine of the church.
Eschatology.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And fidelity. I guess he means by that, like faith. I don't know what he means by that. But like he says, there's problems at every level, mm-hmm. which I assume is a veiled reference to the federal vision. Controversy back in the day. I don't know. But he's saying there's
people. He didn't say.
We don't know. So, but number one, I mean, we don't believe in trying to drive people away from the gospel.
Yeah.
We don't believe in trying to wound innocent bystanders. Mm-hmm. But we do believe that the Bible describes a number of different kinds of rhetoric for different situations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Our friend Andrew Clavin's favorite verse from Paul.
Mm-hmm.
in Galatians, which is an inspired word of God and at some point it was pastorally wise.
Yeah, for Paul to tell the Jews to cut it all off.
For Paul to address Judaizing that way.
Yeah.
And there was, and Jesus himself mocks the Pharisees, mm-hmm. Mocks the way they pray, the way they give their alms,
the way they dress.
He calls them. He says, they strain out gnats and swallow camels. Yep. They tithe their spice rack.
And one of the biggest insults is he calls them serpents, vipers.
Yeah,
that's actually he's saying you're sons of Satan. You're a brood of Satan's people.
Right. It's one of the other clips. He says that he says
Jesus didn't mock, and then he goes on to talk about John the Baptist.
Right. Yeah. And so, interestingly, he ultimately kind of in a kind of convoluted way ends up and actually what we think like Ligon Duncan says there's different people have different roles and different language for different places. And because the Sean guy asks him, well, what about the prophets? Yeah. You know,
because people are going to hear you and say, obviously you don't know your Bible.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What about the prophets? Cause they were mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was there, they, and he regularly, he says mockery and slander. He uses those two things together, but here's the thing. Mockery is not necessarily a sin.
Yeah.
Slander is always a sin.
Right.
Right.
Slander is intentionally lying about someone and smearing their character.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Mockery is it could be Elijah with the prophets of Baal saying your God's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
This could be Jesus calling them whitewashed tombs. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Sons of Satan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna be careful because I like Lig. I do like Lig.
Do you know him? Is he your boy?
I haven't met him. No, but I like Lig.
We all have boys here that we don't know.
But there's two things in this clip, the longer version of it. One of the things that he was praising Kevin DeYoung for was that he was being bold in coming out to have this conversation. Because some of these people who be out here, you put them in the same room and they can't handle it with
They be LARPing.
They be LARPing. That's right. I'll let him say it better than I could.
That doesn't mean that you are the most faithful when you are lobbing the most grenades indiscriminately in every direction.
That's right. Yeah.
And when you are doing clickbaity stuff on, it's one thing to LARP faithfulness and courage on social media. It's another thing to do it in real life.
Yeah, like Kevin
Johnson. You've got a lot of live action role playing going on in the social media world from guys acting like they're tough that put them in a room and you'd have them in a fetal position in 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's not good for that voice to influence our young folks. We are going to have to cultivate backbone, but we're also going to have to cultivate a love for the world that hates us.
He had to be talking about Kevin DeYoung here, right?
Like shutting down his church.
Like, no. I mean, you can go there.
Where's the backbone?
But you got to remember, you said there's a lot of LARPing going on social media. You guys remember how Kevin DeYoung's article started off? Remember how it started off? I'm not going to have this conversation with y'all.
Yeah.
I'm going to just throw this grenade out here.
Ooh.
And just let it sit. And then I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, right,
like nobody represents more of what he's talking about not having courage to engage the conversation than the Kevin DeYoung position and article. So Kevin DeYoung starts his whole article out with, I ain't going to talk to y'all about this.
I'm not going
to
be in the same
but
room
with
y'all.
But I am going to throw this whole grenade out. Now, I've got to remember, now who's the people on the other side saying, why don't you come over here in the same room with us and have the conversation and not LARP on social media? Who's been putting out the invitations for a fully paid expense out to Moscow?
Yeah.
Who's been the one representing how to have the conversation with brothers so we don't have this social media type of LARPing going on? Mm-hmm. And they're representing LARPing in every form of the conversation while they're pointing to us saying that we're LARPing.
Yeah.
And so it cracks me up because I'm thinking to myself, okay, now everybody knows every now and then you do have to throw a grenade. Okay. So everybody agrees with that. Obviously, because guess who's throwing a grenade right now?
Kevin DeYoung.
And
Lig and Dunk
is throwing a grenade.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really happy, Lig, that you decided to throw a grenade because I'm gonna be very honest with you. I can't think of the last time. Let me just listen. Yeah, I can't hear the last time or think of the last time you've thrown a grenade that mattered.
Yeah.
Ooh. Right.
Think about it.
Right.
I'm not even being mean here. I'm being very honest. When's the last time Lig threw a grenade that mattered? When he wrote the top the preface to Woke Church?
Oh,
ouch.
Was that a grenade that mattered? Where's your grenades at, bruh? Well,
Kevin's not going to write a Lig Mood article.
You look at everything that's going on in the culture and society. We literally have drag queen story out and all this other stuff, transgender people. Where's your grenades been at?
Yeah.
They're directed towards Moscow.
Right, but that's my point. That's my point. It's safe to throw a grenade over here, but for you to put your toes into the cultural environment, you are the guy who has missed it for over 25 years on Christian ethics and been teaching it at seminaries.
What do you mean by that?
So when a T4G during the whole woke stuff was going on in, what year was this? 2015, 2016, right? The same year, I believe.
Is this when they did the MLK
It was conference? They did the MLK conference like during the same year. And Lig basically said, brothers, I have missed it. I missed it 20 years ago.
We got that clip.
You can play that clip?
And so if you get all antsy when somebody starts applying the second commandment here, it's because they taught you well. They taught me well. It has taken more than 3 decades for God to bring this blindness.
I'm sorry, 30.
Off of my heart. Forgive me, brothers. Friends, this isn't about some social gospel. There are a lot of things you can worry about in life. Don't ever worry that Lig Duncan really grooves on cultural Marxism, okay? This is the dadgum second commandment.
Dadgum?
The New Testament.
Second table of the law is what I believe he's referring to.
No, I'm talking about dadgum.
Yeah. That's a harsh word.
I wonder what that means.
It's amazing to me in this clip that he goes from like crying over his sin to like making a joke about Marxism like within like 3 seconds. It's like either you're just a really good actor.
But he said over 3 decades.
Over 3 decades of missing how important the second table of the law should have applied to the church as it relates to the church's own prejudice and racism.
Yep. Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. He says, taking 3 decades for me to see this. And now he's been teaching ethics for this time.
For 30 years or whatever?
If you have missed this type of thing for 30 years, I think you need to take a back seat for a minute.
Yeah.
And it lets me know, forgive me if I don't choose to hold to any of your ethical positions since you seem to have this level of blindness as it relates to something so simple as the Imago Dei.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. I missed it for 30 years. Well, okay. You know what? Praise God. I'm glad you're back here. I'm so happy I'm in this era and not in that one. So you can miss it and not have a big effect on me. Just to be very honest.
But if you've been missing that for 30 years.
Yes.
Why would we take your wisdom and leadership on how to fight the enemies facing the church now. For 30 years, you say you missed one of the biggest, most basic enemies.
You could say he was LARPing as a professor or a pastor.
Dang, Gabe. Gabe is on something else. You on some different. But think about it, though.
Be able to make an argument.
But we're talking about the application of the second table of the law.
Right.
That's what we're talking
about. For 30 years.
For 30 years.
Right.
So then there's no question why you would miss biblical theological application of the second table of law as it relates to the civil magistrate.
Right. Right.
Right?
Or how to
pastor people. But it applies on all the spheres of government. Right? It applies on all the spheres of government. Yep. Okay.
This then applies to ethics in terms absolutely. Of abortion. And it even came up in the conversation, theonomy.
Just like the abortion abolition movement, you know, Roe v. Wade gets struck down and suddenly there's an abortion abolition movement. Mm. And you go, were you like for the last 50 years while all these evangelical pro-life people were out here, you know, scraping and clawing and trying to do what they could do to roll back Roe v. Wade? Same thing with Reconstructionism. Just like you were saying, friends from other countries look at this like talk to your Chinese friends. Yeah. How impractical is this?
Yeah,
it's utterly impractical in most parts of the world to even think in these ways. And so you can be really brave and you can have these really strong opinions and you can think you're really pure and you're the one true believer in everyone's midst. And there's no possibility of this being implemented in any possible world. Theologically, theonomic reconstructionism is not a reformed view. That's just, you will just not, they will go back and try and cite magisterial reformers and they will cite them incorrectly.
You have to be really brave to believe God's law should apply to us.
Well, no, you guys, I feel a little
really
bad.
Brave.
I think
where's the backbone?
You know, from where he has his office set in that high ivory tower, it must be really cloudy because he's not seeing on the ground very good at all.
No. Abolitionists came after Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, especially on the abolitionist stuff like that. That was pretty. And I'll let my abolitionist brothers kind of have it that one because they can do it way better than I could. I'm gonna let them have at that one. But I just gotta say, you gotta remember the abolitionists were the ones who pointed out that the pro-life movement wasn't moving the bar anymore, wasn't moving the goalpost anymore. They stopped, or should I say, the pro-life movement kept moving the goalpost. Yeah. And they had to have somebody come in and say, why is it that you guys have been doing this for so long, giving all this money,
and
nothing has really changed but the expansion of abortion?
Well, and I think he's doing the very uncharitable thing to the abolitionists that we have sometimes cautioned our abolitionist brothers about not doing to the whole pro-life movement.
Yeah. Yes.
Has there been massive corruption in the pro-life movement? Yes. Mm-hmm. Have various people used all kinds of excuses to not move the ball down the field? Yes, absolutely. And in that sense, we've been very appreciative of the abolitionist movement. 100%. But sometimes they've done the same thing the other way.
Now, how come it's okay for them to throw a grenade and wound people along the way?
Like he just did.
Yeah, you got some godly abolitionist brothers out there. Look.
I just gotta think he just didn't know. I think he must be up in the ivory tower.
That's my most charitable reading of that. He just didn't know.
You must not know what our brothers have been doing
for decades.
At least the last 10 years hard. Yeah. And I don't know exactly when some of the, you know.
And some of them have been doing it for longer.
Operation Save America have been doing it for 30 years.
And look at Rusty.
And again, my childhood, I've told the story on the show before, but my pastor in my OPC church in California in the 80s was involved in Operation Rescue Ministries. And as far as I was concerned, I was just pro-life. I was just straight pro-life.
I think this show needs more nuance.
But I think his comment there about not applying the law of God, that the idea of Reconstruction, talk to any of your other
Chinese brothers
and sisters in other countries.
Pastor Wang Yi would love that right now.
Like, ugh. I mean, look, if all he means is, which I don't think he means, but like, let me give it the most charitable spin. Has there been debate among the Reformed about how the law of God applies in the civil sphere? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course there has, but not whether.
Yeah.
Not whether the law of God applies, but how and which ones in particular.
Yeah.
And so is there good debate to be hashed out amongst a Reformed Bible believing Christian? Yes, absolutely, there is.
That Lig will never be a part of.
but I'm trying to Game keep my the but the but my point is that you talk to Pastor Wang Yi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He absolutely wants God's law applied in China.
He wouldn't be in jail right now.
We would. I mean, like, and I think in another clip, I don't think we have it on here, but he is the one where he talks about that Protestant Christians invented religious free speech and free speech and all that kind of stuff.
Protestants invented religious freedom, and in America, Baptists and Presbyterians really forged the consensus that came about on religious freedom. And now you've got a group, you know, sort of wanting to call that into question. Let's go back to monarchy. Let's go back to, to state-sponsored persecution, et cetera, et cetera. That's the way to be really faithful.
Is it really?
And it's very childish to me.
It also feels... It feels like a visceral response. America, this thing that we've loved for so long that we felt in control of, we're losing that. Yeah. We're terrified. And listen, I get it. I don't want drag queen story hour any more than you do.
By what standard?
As good Bible guys, we're the reform guys. We can't just say, let's take America back. That feels carnal. It's almost like theonomy allows us to baptize that instinct. Yeah. Well, now I'm trying to find theological rationale for this impulse, you know? So I can actually say, no, me fighting to save the country is a biblical thing.
I'm trying to find theological reason for that impulse. Wait a second. This probably is one of the most convoluted, ignorant statements of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I mean that because he's like, he just told you, hey, I don't like drag queen story hour and just like you don't, right? But now, so why, my friend?
Where? By what standard?
Why don't you like drag queen story hour? The question I want to ask is, do you think drag queen story hour should be legal? And if you do, by what standard?
What basis?
And if you don't think it should matter, then you shouldn't care that I want it illegal. You don't understand. You cannot, if the gospel goes forth and accomplishes a transformation in a man's heart, which is exactly what it does, and he begins to live in such a way that the law of God applies to everything in his life.
Because it's written on his heart.
Because it's written on his heart.
By the Holy Spirit.
So then, as he begins to live that way, what is it he's supposed to do when he goes to his city council members?
Yeah.
What
or,
is he?
Or gets elected.
Or gets elected, like Dusty Devers. Oh, I can't. We should have Dusty Devers on to talk about this. What is it? How is he supposed to live? Is the law? So then, if you have been fighting against abortion for this whole time, why? Why?
Yeah. Because remember, the abolitionists didn't come until after Roe v. Wade was ended.
But you're saying that the law of God applies to the way that a nation operates, and certain things shouldn't be legal if it does not go in line with what God's word says.
That's right.
But that is not theonomy.
Okay, call it what you want.
But I mean, you know, I know. But,
okay.
Yeah. But it's just funny. It's just silly. Mm-hmm. And I think, that comment at the end there, like, why would you want to say that you don't want Christianity
to permeate the society?
Permeate society, take over. And why would you think that Christianity, true Christianity, permeating society, permeating a country, that would be fleshly?
Or impossible. Look at America.
Well, that was the other thing. Is back to the previous clip that Ligon Duncan says this is just childish. This is just LARPing. I guess that was the previous clip, but just that this is impossible. This is not going to happen. No, that's exactly what happened.
Right.
It's exactly what happened in America. And are there people in a fleshly way reacting in fleshly ways? Yes, absolutely. Are there people angry and scared and terrified and mocking their neighbors and chucking grenades? I'm on Twitter. We've all seen that stuff, but that's not right. And the reason why it's not right is because Christ is King, right? It's because Jesus is Lord, because he has all authority in heaven and earth.
Yeah.
And he has sent us to go disciple the nations.
Yeah.
And until about 5 minutes ago, that meant teaching the nations to trust in Jesus and obey him in everything, because that's what he said to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that in and of itself is not, that's not fleshly. That's not worldly. That's Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, that's the Great Commission.
Yeah.
And that is what the founders of our country did. When they wrote the Declaration of Independence, when they went to war, King George called it the Presbyterian Revolt.
That's right.
Yeah.
All but one of General Washington's colonels at the surrender at Yorktown were Presbyterian elders.
That was his problem.
All but one.
That one should have been. Anyway, go ahead.
He's probably method.
The American. The American. The American. No, it was a Baptist. We'll let him have it. He's a Baptist. Don't worry. Don't worry,
guys. I said Methodist, guys. Come on.
In 1775, a year before the Declaration of Independence, it was the American Presbyterian General Assembly that passed a resolution in favor of declaring independence.
Hmm.
I mean, this was a thoroughly reformed Presbyterian movement.
Yeah.
And it was based on the work of Samuel Rutherford, Lex Rex, and the work of the reformers, the magister reformers, who said all of God's word applies to all of life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there things we got to work out? Yes. Yeah. And did some of them try to apply it in ham-handed ways and in horrible? Yes. Mm-hmm. But at least they understood that it's God's word, Christ is king, and we need to obey him, we need to submit to him, and we want that done in the public square.
What I believe this is, and Kevin DeYoung the same way, and as well with Ligon Duncan, is this is the rise of just preach the gospel.
Mm.
Trying to come back, because I believe that it got dethroned. And I think people were like, that is not, it has some application to that gospel.
Which is going
to
catch Lick Duggan again, though, because in that original clip where he's at the confessing his sins of religious or racial whatever, he says there that for a long time he was told just to preach the gospel.
Right. Right. But then he comes back around back here.
I know.
And I don't think it's going to work. Because people are going to say, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And you're going to have to.
It's disappointing.
It means you can apply it wherever the gods of the age say you can apply it.
That's right.
Well, this ain't over. We're going to talk about this a lot more. Yeah, I'm not done. If you're single, getting married. If you're married, have you some kids. And if you have kids, go baptize them. Until next time, which is tomorrow. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politic. Go get him, abolitionist!
America the beautiful. God once shed his grace on thee. Patriots dream for those who love mercy more than life. Our Father's feet tread a thoroughfare of freedom for you and me. Our nation, once blessed by God, has now rejected the mighty works of his hands, the kind of works that, if done in Tyre and Sidon, if done in Sodom, they would have repented long ago. This America, at its founding, was 98% Protestant, but now the two are chasing our 10,000. What happened? How did America go from honoring God, ordering our laws around God's word, and building a society around the family and church, to cutting off kids' testicles, to celebrating sodomy in the streets, to killing over 60 million babies? We, the church, are responsible for losing our nation. We lost it because we showed them how to rebel against God first. Our pastors ignored their qualifications, remaining in the pulpit while their kids ran from the faith. We had women in the pulpit long before the Air Force allowed women into fighter jets. We kicked children out of adult worship services long before abortion was legal. We taught the world how to compromise and ignore the Bible verses that make us squirm. To make matters worse, we sold our kids to Caesar for a lake house and fine dining. We rejected the patriarchy and God's design for husband and wife. We believed the lies of feminism. We buckled under the state's tyranny. We have been incubating in a petri dish of impotent modern worship that longs for an insecure relationship with her boyfriend. Our strip mall churches are catering to religious consumerism. You know, come as you are, unrepentant sin and all. Like grape juice in communion, our gospel has no kick. The American church really is gay.
Are you asking me out on a date?
Effeminate.
The Bible appears more to whisper when it comes to sexual sin.
Shallow.
I said, I want the African-American seven.
And full of cowardly leaders.
Are we going to keep bickering over secondary issues?
America desperately needs to return to the Father. Either we fall on the rock and are broken, or we fall on the ground and are crushed under that rock. To fall on top of the rock and be broken is exactly the condition in which God brings Reformation and revival. So which way is it, prodigal America? Are you coming home to the Father? Join us this Reformation Day in Fort Worth, Texas, October 31st through November 2nd at Will Rogers Event Center, just days before our presidential election. And join with the thousands of us for the blessing of gathering together with God's people and celebrating God's goodness with beer and psalms. Hear from speakers such as Dr. James White, Pastor Toby Sumter, Pastor Doug Wilson, Dr. George Grant, Gaben Knox, Steve Dace, and more. Don't forget our Business Makers Conference, Jumpy Castles for the kiddos, after party, single events, the Pastor's Luncheon, the Business Leader's Luncheon, and many more surprises coming. America has squandered her inheritance far too long. It's time she repents and returns home to her Father. Fight, Laugh, Feast presents Prodigal America.